This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
That's your answer to everything. Tattoo it on your forehead. Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences. The bomb's lost. My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir. The bombs will always lose. Do you hear me, Lebowski?
OT, overtime, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, in here with you guys live from the Fan Run Radio Studios, as always. Crazy weekend.
An exciting weekend.
Yeah. I mean,
A lot of big moments.
There were terrible things that happened. Two or three of them.
Well.
Three of them, to be exact.
Okay. But we're talking sports.
Yeah, sorry. It came across my
We're talking
page
sports.
I was talking, and that's what made me.
We're talking sports, and in the world of sports,
the Milwaukee Bucks had three separate shootings outside of their.
My God!
Deer District, I think, is
oh
what it's called.
Oh my God!
And so they had to cancel the watch party.
I hadn't heard.
And after the performance, I think it was a smart move, because it was an ugly blowout win last night.
That's true.
Was that last night or was that the night before?
Yesterday.
That's right.
It was yesterday.
But yes, obviously, Game 7 galore across the world of sports. You had three NHL Game 7s as well as two Game 7s in the NHL on Saturday. And then some good Game 7s on Sunday in the NBA.
It was like a very eventful day, or weekend, overall.
I thought it was going to be a good Sunday.
I watched it, honestly, though, like all of these, what do you mean you thought it was going to be a good Sunday? You just talking NBA?
Yeah, I mean, it was 109-81 and 123-90.
Yeah, no, I did not watch very much NBA. What I was most enjoyed was the NHL, man. Playoff hockey is, I think it's a top.
It's the best sport.
No.
It's the best sport.
But, like, when you're just comparing, just exciting, you know, every moment could change the entire complexion of the game. Like, any moment, it's very, very fun. You know, this is the first year I fully got involved. Like, I've never watched the first round of the NHL playoffs, you know? Never really cared. Never really kept up with them.
There's never been this many Game 7s, though, I would feel like.
I guess, but I've watched even.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Actually, please don't correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just going to go check, and I'm going to get really
upset. I think I did
it.
Have the advantage of like being sick on Thursday and Friday, too, so I caught like the endings of all the other series as well. Like, I watched every series finish, pretty much. But as a product, man, NHL playoffs are very close to the top, you know? I mean, a playoff hockey game is way more exciting than a playoff baseball game. I mean, there is still that feel of, like, every moment could change the complexion of the game completely. But I don't know, something about the fluidity and the speed of hockey. It's a
quick-paced game.
Quite a sight, you know? It's pretty cool. That Madison Square Garden crowd last night was absolutely on 10. It was, whenever that goal landed. I can't remember who hit that. I mean, it was a deep one, too, through a crowd that I have no idea how it even found the net to win that game in overtime. That's a moment. That's really, really cool. Regardless of what happens for these teams who've, like, closed out those game sevens, those moments are huge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good hockey was played. A lot of good teams were put out of the playoffs already. So, I'm excited. My money's on the Oilers. They are they're absolutely nuts. Connor McDavid and Draisaitl are a couple of stone cold killers.
Every team looks unbeatable. I don't know hockey, so I don't know. But sure. Every team looks insane.
Yeah. There's just a certain like time I don't know enough about hockey either. But like there's times on the ice where like you can see like it happened with I don't know, I've seen it with like the Flames. The Dallas Stars did it last night too against the Stars or the Flames.
Switching gears, sorry. Steve Aoki just had the worst world first pitch of all time.
Steve Aoki, the EDM guy?
Yes.
Who'd he throw out the first pitch for? The Angels. Is that an LA thing?
I'm trying to see. It looks Dodgers. Like maybe even it looks like this could be Fenway.
In Boston?
I think it's Fenway.
Is he a Boston guy? I feel like EDM, my brain always just goes LA. You know?
Yeah, I
East
guess.
East Coast
makes sense.
Not super EDM. You know, in my brain. You can't tell what park it is?
It's Fenway.
You're positive?
Yeah, I'm seeing tweets now.
Okay.
But, he just threw it over every single possible part.
Bad?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
I'm watching.
He sailed that, baby.
I mean, he's got a good windup. Oh, my goodness.
I've never seen a ball float like that.
Did it? Oh, wow, it went on the net behind home plate and, like, had to roll back down. That's a shame because, like, if I was going up there, you know, and you know he was too. Like, you get up there, number one, big move to throw from the mound. I think he overestimated the distance a little bit, maybe.
He
threw from the rubber, so that's, like, a big deal. But, like, you get up there, and if I was walking out there, I'd be like, well, you know, how bad can you screw it up, you know?
I mean, that's more impressive than skipping it.
He had a little juice to it,
but there
had
were,
a little gas.
I was going to say, like, this is one of the worst of all time, but there was, I don't even know who was throwing it, but it looked like maybe a World Series team or some sort of team getting honored at Fenway, and someone threw a first pitch, and it just missed the plate and hit a photographer in the balls.
Right in the gonads.
One of the funniest
videos that's a good
of all
one.
Time.
50 Cent was bad.
50 Cent was pretty bad. Nothing can beat hitting someone in the balls, though. That's
right.
The perfect
Yeah,
first
and
pitch.
You had to feel bad, too. Like, at least with, like, Steve Aoki and 50 Cent and all these other just horrible ones, they didn't hurt anybody, you know?
Not that we know of.
Not that we're aware of. They hurt their pride.
Probably a little bit.
They hurt their own feelings.
Steve Aoki is the, Benihana's kid?
What?
I could be mistaken, but I think his father is, like, the franchisee of Benihana's.
Oh, really?
And that's...
That's a big family to be in. I bet you there's a lot of Benihana's
so.
Money.
I think so.
Are you sure? Well, I guess that would make sense. Like a guy who, you know.
Says it's, hold on. Yes, yeah. Stephen Aoki is an American DJ, record producer, music programmer, record executive, and heir to his father, Rocky. Much better name. Rocky Aoki. That's a
that
DJ.
That sounds like a WWE
Stephen
star.
Aoki. Steve Aoki. Stephen Aoki is the franchiser. Rocky Aoki should be the DJ.
I guess that is fair.
But he is the heir to
Maybe
Rocky
it was Rocky's
Aoki's
dream.
Fortune from the Benihana restaurant franchise in 2012. Polestar designated Aoki as the highest grossing electronic dance music artist in North America from tours. He's the cake in the face guy, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did like the...
I wish Cardi B did something like that.
He did the... Yeah, I bet you do. Your wife that you've married a few different times. He did the... what's it called? Pursuit of Happiness remix that's very popular. He's got a good one, like the Kid Cudi song.
I'm not a big EDM guy.
No, but it's a popular one. It's been in a lot of movies and media. You've probably heard it. Steve Aoki's not bad. I mean, he's like a remix guy. Like a club mix, you know? That's like a bold way to make a career, is to just be like, well, you've already got a song. I'm going to add, like, just some more beats to it.
Can you get the sad piano music ready real quick?
I mean, it's ready whenever you need it, Chief.
You get over there and hit that stuff, because today is a new day for Phoenix Suns fans. The work on next season is already underway. This is a tweet from the Phoenix Suns main account, signed by James Jones and Jason Rowley. As employees, fans, partners, and PayPal six-man members of the Phoenix Suns, you should be proud of what you have helped this team and our organization to accomplish for three straight seasons. We've been raising the bar on expectations and accomplishments that wouldn't have been possible without the incredible support from the best fans in the NBA, some of whom have been with us since the start in 1968.
That's heavy.
With greater amount of success and expectations come deeper disappointment. That's natural. Just know we all share in it. Our organization won't be satisfied until we bring an NBA championship to the Valley. We're in this together. We win together. We lose together. We fight together. And the only way to get better. By being together. It's the only way to get better is together. Thank you for your support all season. As we look ahead to the start of not a new book, but a new chapter. James Jones, Jason Riley.
Wow. That was powerful.
I mean, it just must suck to be a really bad basketball team.
God, I bet it does. I bet it does suck.
I got swept in the first round. I can't say anything.
You did get swept in the first round.
We
That's
will,
okay.
Though, after
Warriors
that
still going.
Emotional breakdown, hit a quick break and head over to the G3 Help Me Hotline after this. So don't go anywhere and hang tight if you're hanging on the G3 Help
hang
Me
on
Hotline.
There.
We'll get right over to you after this one. OT Overtime, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys going up until 8 p.m. As always, we get over right to the G3 Help Me Hotlines where Matthew has been sitting patiently. Matthew, what's good, man?
What's going on, fellas? It's been too long. How are we feeling?
Better.
Good.
Alive.
Better.
You know?
I owe you a congrats, I guess. I honestly don't know when the last time y'all did a show, respectfully, of course. But, you know, since then, you know, the Warriors won, respectfully, of course. I'm butthurt, but it is what it is, and we move on. Now, my question, you know, guys, Tucker, how are you feeling? Are you nervous now that you are seeing the Mavs?
No. No, not at all.
I honestly think he's probably more calm.
I have the most, like, so I'm a Tennessee fan, which, you know, I know what it's like to be a loser at times, you know, but the Warriors are the one team that I can just be like, nah, it'll probably be okay.
Chiefs.
The Chiefs, yeah. I mean, of like the last, you know, like we're not world beaters, you know, like the, we lose regular season games and stuff like that. But like Warriors in the playoffs that are healthy, I don't really get too nervous. I mean, if it gets to like game 7 and it's halftime, And the Warriors are losing, then yeah, I'll probably get a little, you know, butterflies. But right now, you know, I'm just gonna roll right into this series with my head high, excited to watch a lot of really good basketball. It's gonna be a fun series.
It's gonna be great. I'm excited. Living here in Dallas, you know, I sent you that tweet. Everybody's all mapped out and going crazy. I was hoping the Stars would win because I've never seen. You know, I remember when Nashville hosted the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they had CMA Fest going on, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I was hoping for that, but couldn't get that. Real quickly here, just curious, Tucker, after watching that series, are you, like, where, like, if, as a NBA analyst that you are,
yeah,
would you say that you are, do you like the direction the Grizzlies are going? Do you think
for sure
they will be in the Warriors' boat anytime soon?
Well, that's a high ceiling, but I certainly believe that like the Grizzlies are moving in a direction to where they could be like competitors year in and year out, at least like to the point where it's not out of the realm of possibility for them to be in the Western Conference Finals here in the next like year, 2 years. I think Will would agree with that.
It's all about pieces. I mean, that you can easily screw this up. I don't see them doing that because they've done the right things and the hard things right which is the early building processes of getting a Ja Morant, and that could be luck. Like, I think if Ja Morant is the first pick, I think they take Zion. You know what I mean? Like, I think they just take whatever they got at second, and I think they are very happy with Ja Morant. But you build the right pieces of a Jaren Jackson, a Dylan Brooks, is questionable. His shot selection is a very good defender. You have all these different small pieces, a Desmond Bain, who no one had ever heard of until he was lighting it up this playoffs. Like, there's a lot of guys like that to where, like, that's the hard part, is getting the guys that no one knows about and building a squad out of new players. And then it just comes into play of, like, now you got to get the right pieces. Like, a Steven Adams is not going to win you a championship, but if you go get a contributing center, this is obviously heads and tails, a crazy expectation, but a player like a Cat or some sort of big star who's looking to move or could be moving here soon and start loading up on those big pieces, I think you're one or two things like that away.
Very close.
But that is also a hard part. I think they got the hardest part of the job, though, out of the way. It's very easily screwed up. Look at Tennessee. They've done it many times.
Yeah.
Well, I'll hang up with this, guys. I think it's going to be a fun series to watch. I think the NBA playoffs will be exciting still. I mean, no offense, Tucker, but I don't think anybody is going to be cheering for Golden State.
Shock me if they were.
But I do think it'll be a fun series moving forward. I loved watching Grant Williams get 27 yesterday. That was fun to watch.
Incredible.
And so I'll be cheering that on. And I'll hang up with this, guys. Have y'all seen the tweet most recently about the possible Oklahoma-Texas additions and where that would do to the schedule aligning? What I'm saying is they're eventually going to put us in the pods.
Huh.
Okay.
I saw some talk about this morning on different shows, but I did not listen. I only saw the tweets.
Well, here's what I'll hang up with, and I would love – because I love hearing people's different opinions on this because we're all around the same age. Moving forward, if you had to guarantee is that they play every year, three rivals for Tennessee to play every year, and then the rest it would alternate. So you'd have, out of 13 games, I guess eight more conference games, but they would all be rotational games. So I'll let y'all talk about that. And for Will's favorite, I'm actually going to mix it up. Instead of doing where is that college, I'm going to do a little NBA edition of where is that player's university from. I'll give y'all two. Al Horford, and I will give the Warrior Nugget, Mr. Jordan Poole. Have a great day, guys. Take care.
As always, love the call, Matthew.
Great call.
Those are both very easy.
Hold on.
I mean, those are both very easy.
Jordan Poole went to Duke.
No, he did not. I told you where he went very recently when I was making fun of Jordan Poole. He went to Michigan. He hit that game
winner
against
Houston in the
tournament.
It's a crazy game winner.
You're right. And Al Horford went to Florida.
That is right. I knew that as well.
Sorry, I watched college basketball.
Sorry, you're a nerd.
Yeah, those were very, very easy.
Okay.
Shout out Jordan Poole. Like, that's a hard pull if people don't know NBA. Like, I just remember that shot. It was a wild shot.
It was really cool.
Like,
yeah,
Franz
I don't know why.
Wagner
Jordan
was on
Poole,
that team.
Who am I thinking of? No,
Mo Wagner was on that team.
Jordan Poole's not the guy the Warriors had that was from Duke. Who did we have that I loved we don't have anymore? Quinn Cook is from Duke.
Quinn Cook was from Duke.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. Quinn Cook was our, like,
2016.
He was our project player that Jordan Poole has now taken that role from. But
I mean, Quinn Cook was just like a Norris Cole. Like, he was just a bench player.
Yeah, no, but he was fun. I liked his style.
Yeah.
He fit in well on the Warriors, you know?
Norris Cole is my favorite Heat player.
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. He just had a cool flat top.
Yeah.
The Heat had very, like the main three had really bad hairstyles. And then, like, you have Mike Miller, and that brings down the bunch. And Ray Allen's bald, and Shane Battier's bald, so that brings down the bunch. But you had two very cool hairstyles, and Chris Anderson, the Birdman mohawk.
Yeah, with the mohawk.
And then Norris Cole with the flat top.
The tatted up, oh, that's the flat top guy. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I know, I hear you now, but now that I saw it in the...
Number 30.
I didn't know he played alongside Birdman, so now I know who we're talking about. Yeah, shout out that guy.
What was his name?
Oh, brother. I wasn't actually paying attention to his name.
Norris Cole. But in terms of pods, like, I don't know. I'm not a giant fan of crazy hypotheticals because you're always going to be wrong. Those are hard things to talk about. I guess they're easy things to talk about because you can always be right.
Right.
But I'm a glass half empty guy, so like, I always feel like I'm going to be wrong.
Yeah, you could build the pod like three different ways.
In terms of like, I don't know how many teams would go in it. I'm not good with math, but like, I would want to keep the same three rivals as much as like people talk about them not being rivalries or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm a traditionalist, but I'm also a realist. And so I know that the rivalries aren't necessarily rivalries anymore in the eyes of a lot of people, but it still means something to me. I would like to keep them because that's my traditionalist aspect.
You want Georgia, Florida, Bama?
I would still enjoy playing those teams. It's just okay. Something about it. And I know it's dumb. I know it's setting yourself up for failure, but like, it just would not be the same. And like, what would you be replacing them with? An Oklahoma or a Texas, who still probably would, in their best, probably beat our ass.
Right. You could also just go full like bias and just have our pod be like Kentucky, Missouri.
See, but I want
Vandy.
That. I wouldn't want that because that's just inevitable disappointment.
Well, that's not the only SEC games you're playing.
If we went,
that's not the only SEC games you're playing.
If we went undefeated with an easy schedule of building those types of teams, I would be so upset because I knew we were going to get smoked.
You still have six other conference games every year. You would still probably play those like same teams multiple years in a row.
I just think,
and I'm not saying that's the pod that I would want to build, but I'm just saying putting Alabama, Georgia and
that's
Florida as
saying.
Your like
I'm
every
saying,
single year, which is what
I'm
we
saying.
Have now, but it would just completely.
I'm just saying rivalries. If
sure.
We do, if you are getting more teams, that does not mean you have to get away from rivalries at all.
Right.
So I don't care anything about that. If we're doing like pure geography or something like that, like I think a Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and probably Georgia and Alabama. Or
sure.
maybe Missouri if you want to stretch it a little far, but they're still pretty out west. Like I think those four, and then Florida is kind of their own little bubble who can be thrown somewhere else
there.
As well. South Carolina maybe instead of Alabama. I wouldn't hate that just because it's South Carolina instead of Alabama, but like would you be able to make that pull as well? Like is that – or would they be in the southern region or the beach region with Florida?
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe you put South Carolina with Florida. But we're really getting into like semantics at this point. Like I don't know what your – what your qualifiers would be. Because I feel like, I mean, you could probably balance out the schedule. I would not be the one to balance the schedule that way. I don't know, though. I mean, for sure.
Is there a team you wouldn't want to play?
Like, wouldn't want in our
pod? Out of the three, like, regardless of the three rivalries we already have. Because those are just easy answers. Like, yeah, I wouldn't want to play the two best teams in the nation right now. Like, I'm tired of playing Auburn, I'll be honest.
Are you?
Yeah.
I think that's like a, I don't know. I think our uniforms look good on the field. I think that's a good uniform matchup. It feels like it has a history to it, which it kind of does. We've played them in SEC championships, played them in big games. I'm not a huge fan of playing, like I never really get up for a Mississippi State game. Even though they like used to beat us in the past, like we, you know, they probably have us in like the last, you know, 20 years.
If Lane Kiffin wasn't at Ole Miss, I'd say
I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care either. Yeah, the Mississippi schools I really could take or leave, but Lane Kiffin being at Michigan or Ole Miss actually makes me, you know, have a little bit of hate for them. I don't know. I got no problem with Mike Leach either, so I guess I don't know. I don't really dislike any SEC team besides the ones we're supposed to hate. You know, I don't have a ton of beef. I hate A&M. I do hate A&M.
Yeah, I'd be fine not playing them. I think that'd be my team.
Yeah.
If I did,
I don't have good memories playing A&M ever.
No, the only memory I have playing A&M is we were at Disney, and we were in Epcot, and the game was starting, and I was like, guys, the game is starting, and my mom just was like, okay, go back to the hotel and watch the game if you want to. And then I got lost, and then they ended up beating me there, and I got there as probably two plays before the fumble touchback.
Before the fun ended?
The big play
that
really went crazy. Mm-hmm. And then the fun ended right after that.
Yeah, no fun's been had in College Station for us in a long time.
I went all the way. I got on like the monorail and then got off somewhere and then ended up in Animal Kingdom. And then somehow went to like every park besides the one we were
staying
at.
The one where you needed to go to?
We were in Magic Kingdom. And like, that was where our hotel was.
Yeah.
And I went to every single park besides Magic Kingdom. I don't know why or how or what
how
I was
old
doing.
Were you?
Like 15,
I guess that was 2016.
I was 15 or 14.
You were 16?
Yeah. No. I'm only 20.
Right. So you would have been like 14.
Yeah, what I said.
Sorry,
I was
bro.
I was
my
a
bad.
Freshman.
My bad.
I was telling you a memory I had and you were disagreeing with me
I hear
about
you.
How old I was.
Sorry.
During it.
I forget your age sometimes. I forget how old you are. My bad.
Do I act older than I am or
no.
younger than I am?
No, you just act dumb.
Hey, hey.
You know?
Hey, hey, hey. Save that stuff for in the breaks so I can beat your ass.
We don't fight.
Yeah, it's not much of a fight.
Nah, yeah, for you. For you. Your face. My fist.
Just know that.
My face,
and
your fist.
I mean this with all due respect to your father, but my dad could very easily
beat the snot out of your dad.
I don't think you understand what you're saying right now. Have you seen my dad?
Have you seen my dad? My dad is like 6'9", 245, yeah. Pure carved muscle.
You've never seen my dad. He's a ninja. He comes around the corner.
He's never been seen.
We'll be right back.
UA.
Overtime live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, in here with you guys going up until 8 p.m. as always. Quick one here for before birthdays, because we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and today.
A lot of birthdays. People being born.
Yeah. Yeah. And the precursor.
Not recently.
9 months ago. Right about.
Years ago. But
unless we got preemies on here.
I mean, that's possible, you know? You wouldn't discriminate those people, would you?
I am one of those people. And
that's why I said you wouldn't. That door is wide open.
No, I would not.
We've never done your birthday before on the birthday game, though. Actually, probably. I bet we have.
My first birthday.
I bet we have.
I turned 19 and had a radio show. I was like, I'm hosting birthdays today because I know every single person. And then I just
wrote my own little article. I remember that. That was fun.
Like I said, comedian / I think it was Lady Getter or something like that.
Lady Getter. Wow. When you were still trying to figure out how to talk on the radio. Back in our young...
Did I ever tell that joke about magnets?
Maybe. Probably.
You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll hold on to it then. It's a good one.
I'm sure the people have heard it.
It's a good one.
Yeah, no, you want to save that one for your special.
It's my version of like a cow magnet.
Yeah. Funny.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is getting bullied on Twitter again.
Neil deGrasse Tyson was wilding on Twitter last night.
He got ratioed by Wendy's.
As he should have. I saw the tweet. I don't know why. He's a little bit of a snob. A space snob.
Because he's an astrophysicist.
He's a space snob. I'm sorry. No need to gatekeep space, bro.
I thought his whole thing...
was trying to get people interested into space.
No, that's Bill Nye. His profile picture
might be
the greatest profile picture of all time. We do bad radio in terms of just like I'm breaking down instead of like Neil deGrasse and the words that he said. I'm sending you Neil deGrasse's tweet so you can. I'm just combining his name. It's Neil deGrasse Tyson, not Neil deTyson.
You think he just looks handsome in this
look
picture?
At that picture.
He does look cute.
That is such a hard picture.
He's got a good mustache too.
Look at the vest.
Mm-hmm. The vest has a sun on it.
Probably a couple of them.
And I bet that's a moon on the other side.
Nah, it's
you think it's all
sun.
Suns?
That's another sun.
Yeah. Yeah. He went on a complete rant talking about.
Anytime someone finishes a tweet with "just saying," you know that they've said some things.
Yeah, he. Pretty much told everybody who thought the lunar eclipse was cool that they were stupid.
Dear Earthlings, currently in darkness, right about now the full moon is passing Earth into conical shadow in space. The event is long and boring, lasting 3.5 hours. It's like intercourse.
Right.
For
long and boring.
And lasting about 3 to 5 hours.
Right.
For the middle 84 minutes, the moon is all but fully darkened as it enters the deepest part of Earth's shadow. Decades ago, when there was more air pollution, sunsets were often beet red. That color would refract into the Earth's shadow in space, tinting the fully eclipsed moon. Haven't seen that effect in years. The moon more commonly goes dark, leaving nothing, quote, bloody about the blood moon.
Okay, hold on. If we had a blood moon last night, I've seen that like 10 times in my life.
It's what he's saying.
Okay. All right. I thought a blood moon was just when it was red. I thought it was like a full eclipse last night. Like it passed like perfectly.
It wasn't
went
a solar
into,
eclipse. I remember
it
that.
Went in, no, the solar eclipse was, that one's pretty cool.
So pointless.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we, you
we
were
got,
here.
We got out of school for it, so that was cool.
Yeah. Did you go to where it was like?
No, I watched it in my backyard.
In totality?
I was literally sitting next to the pool.
I went to Maryville, like specifically. Back in those days, you know, that was like an hour and a half drive for me. And I was just in a parking lot of some bank. And it was incredible. Like, the world stopped. All the birds stopped chirping because it was dark outside. All the, like, the street lights turned on. It was like 6 p.m. It was incredible.
I think it was like daytime.
Okay, then it was like 4 p.m., 3 p.m.
I think it was closer to like noon.
It was like 9 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It happened the day before it was supposed to.
It was awesome. The lunar eclipse, I walked out. I saw this tweet from Neil deGrasse Tyson last night. And I was like, not spectacular. I bet it looks awesome outside.
Unspectacular is the term that she used.
Unspectacular.
If nobody told you what was happening to the moon, you'd probably not notice at all. Just saying.
Now, granted, in defense.
Just saying, man.
In defense of Neil, I was sitting on my couch, comfortable. I was under a blanket, Will. I was watching TV. I see this tweet. I think, I wonder if he's just, you know, he's seen so much, he doesn't even think it's cool, right? So I walk outside, you know, and I walk out to the sidewalk, and I look up. I'm like, huh. I do a 360. You know, I walk out to the street. You know, I walk down like a little towards the corner. Now I'm getting a little nervous. It's like 11:30 at night. You know, I've got some unsavory people on my block at times, you know, walking around for no reason at night. And I think, the moon was just gone.
Neil
There's
was
no
lying.
Moon.
I mean, clouds exist.
No clouds. I saw stars. No moon.
Huh.
And I was like, huh.
Low.
And I was like, okay. And then I went inside and said, yeah, Neil, this sucks. That's what I thought.
No, Neil has seen it. Neil seeing as many moons and stars and things to where he thinks it's unspectacular. Again, I hate to be this dirty guy, but I would again compare that to me in intercourse. It's happened time and time again, and
right.
So often.
Sure.
And it's almost a nuisance at this point.
You think so?
Yeah, I almost have to turn it down. Almost. I'm not gonna.
Right. That's him with like lunar eclipses. Yeah. He's like, oh, another one.
How is that unspectacular?
Yeah.
Imagine saying that. That'd be very, I'd laugh. That would be very, that's like the perfect word to describe it.
Unspectacular. Yeah, I mean, because I guess in Neil's world, he's like, I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Aight.
It's whatever.
That's,
it's an eclipse.
That's a scientist's way of saying it's aight.
Yeah, he said, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know, if I happened to look up in the sky and see it, I'd go, huh, neat.
Okay.
That's not a black hole swallowing a universe, you know? But it's something.
You ready to do some birthdays?
Yeah, I guess we can. I'm doing them.
Yeah.
Because you're bowing out.
My
you
throat
think
hurts, man.
You're scared.
I'm feeling bad.
You're scared of tic-tac-toe or
I'm
rock,
bad.
Paper, scissors.
I'm battling right now.
Yeah, you're wearing a referee shirt.
Yeah, okay. I thought we weren't going to talk about that because we do a radio show. But yes,
you're dressed in stripes. You're a zebra.
I left my clothes at home, and I sprayed today. So I had to get those chemicals off.
Like
of,
a skunk.
Like chemical
you sprayed out
of
fear.
Me. And so I just grabbed the only clothes I had in my car, which was just a referee shirt.
I like to imagine you saying you sprayed today. It's like you are a skunk, but you just pooped your pants.
No, I had to do the weed here. I sprayed.
You did weed? You did the weed here?
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm calling the police.
But no, I had to spray the weeds, and it's chemicals, obviously.
That's tough.
Yeah, I just...
You make sure you breathe them in real good?
Yeah, well, I was telling Russ, I like to, like, kind of like to, like... You know how, like... hunters will rub themselves in deer pee.
Yeah.
I like to spray myself in that chemical just so the plants can't hear me come.
Yeah, the weeds don't even think you're... Yeah. They think you're a weed.
Oh, it's rain. No,
no,
it's
brother.
Not.
No, it's not.
Birthday's next. Happy birthday to you. It's time for the birthday game, for the birthday game, for the birthday game. As always, people are born and then we talk about them no later. And no sooner, only the difference in names and the days. Tucker, take it away.
We got a lot of birthdays today. Decent names.
Nice.
I'll just get rolling. This Tennessean, born in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, in 1986, on this day, today, 36 years old, she is a movie actress and a model. For which she won in one of her roles, she won a National Movie Award for Best Performance by a Female That was 2007. She received additional fame for starring in the 2009 film Jennifer's Body. And she played the lead character, April O'Neil, in the 2014 film Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. She's been called a modern sex symbol for appearing in many magazines. That's fair. She's been in the news a lot recently because of her relationship is extremely cringy.
Is it Amber Heard?
No. Cringy, not toxic. It is Megan Fox, born in Oak Ridge. Happy birthday.
Did not know that.
Transformers star is the movie I would have eventually rounded to. Yeah, I heard that on Twitter like a month ago. I was like, what? That's kind of wild, you know?
Checks out.
Small world. You think Oak Ridge?
Yeah.
Pumping them out?
Yeah.
Okay. Next person. Also Oak Ridge. Incredible.
Huh.
Just kidding.
Machine Gun Kelly.
No. would track. Los Angeles, California. 78 years old, born in 1944. He is a movie actor. He is a Mexican-American film and voice actor. Became known for his roles in the 2007 action film Grindhouse, the 96 film From Dusk Till Dawn, and the 2010 slasher film Machete.
Is it Danny Trejo?
It is Danny Trejo. He was in Breaking Bad for a few episodes.
I don't think I've ever seen anything Danny Trejo's been in, but I know Danny Trejo is the coolest.
He was in Spy Kids.
Yeah, he was. Okay, I've seen that.
He plays Machete.
That's right.
Uncle Machete.
Yeah.
He was apparently in Sons of Anarchy, too. Shout out Danny Trejo. Strong stash on that guy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
This next guy.
Good ponytail. Great ponytail.
Oh, yeah. Just a great look overall. But 53, San Francisco, California, a journalist, former editor-in-chief of the Daily Caller, host of MSNBC's blank.
Rachel Maddow?
No, he also became co-host of
Chuck
CNN's
Todd.
Crossfire, and then host of his own show
Wolf
on
Blitzer.
Fox News.
He jumped around.
He was a big CNN guy, but now he's on Fox News, and he's really good at being on Fox News.
Is it Tucker Carlson?
It is Tucker Carlson. Huh. He's played both sides. Many people don't know that. He's jumped a lot of ships.
I mean, he sucks.
Sucks a lot. Anyways, yeah, whatever. It's that guy's birthday. 28 years old, California. A rapper is what they have him on here for. He's an entertainer. You know, he's a famous person. I mean, he does rap. He has rapped. Known by a stage name more properly. You know his real name, too. He was in a rap collective. He was in a TV show.
Is it Earl Sweatshirt?
No. He was a guest star on Ridiculousness one time.
Taco?
It is Taco, yeah.
I don't know his real name.
You don't know his real name? TB? Travis Bennett?
No, I didn't know that.
Never know? Yeah. Travis Bennett. Happy
birthday.
Cole
Bennett is the lyrical Lemonade guy.
Okay. Same person, actually. He changed his name.
And race.
I don't know who that other guy is.
Okay.
Blonde
white guy.
Okay, well, different people. Chattanooga, Tennessee, 31, a rapper.
Isaiah Rashad.
Happy birthday to Isaiah Rashad.
Isaiah Rashad.
Shout out to Isaiah Rashad.
Listen to House is Burning.
He's pretty good.
So good. He's never released a bad album.
No, he's pretty good. I like his music. This next guy, Flowood, Mississippi, 26 years old, a football player, a quarterback. Who rose to prominence at the outset of the NFL 2019 NFL season for his team, who selected him in the 2019 draft in the sixth round. He's got a strong mustache as well and a strong personality.
One and only Gardner Minshew.
It is Gardner Minshew's birthday.
Went for him as Halloween one year.
You did?
Yeah, I just put a fake mustache and a headband on.
I bet a Jaguars
t-shirt.
I bet you did work that pretty well. You had the long hair going.
No, I didn't.
Before then?
Yeah. It was just hair.
Really? Gardner Minshew's? Yeah, I guess so. We weren't even doing this show when Gardner Minshew came out, right?
No, I was a junior in high school still.
Right. That feels like last year for some reason.
Was that 2019?
I guess so, yeah. I was going to college still, so yeah. Anyways, this guy's 47 from Bartow, Florida. 47. A football player. A legendary linebacker. And a 13-time Pro Bowler. Who was named MVP of Super Bowl 35. He received the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year Award in 2000 and 2003. He played for University. Yeah, it's Ray Lewis. It's the best linebacker of all time. It's not him. You know, not a lot of easy ones to give there. 53, Pensacola, Florida. Another football player. A running back who retired with an NFL record 18,355 rushing yards. He was selected to 8 Pro Bowls with the NFL. It's Emmitt Smith. These guys were all born on the same day.
It's crazy.
It's kind of wild. Strong birthday. This next guy was also born on the same day in 1970. He's 52, Cleveland, Ohio. Another football player. He was a former professional and college football standout who belongs in a prestigious group of athletes to win both a Heisman Trophy and a Super Bowl MVP award. The Heisman came. It's part of the Michigan Wolverines.
Charles Woodson.
It is not?
No.
And as a Green Bay Packer. But he was drafted 4th overall by the Washington Redskins in the 92 draft. He faced Drew Bledsoe of the New England Patriots.
Desmond Howard won a Heisman. I knew he had the Heisman pose. I didn't know he won that thing.
Damn. Yeah, Desmond's that guy in college. He was really good.
I knew he was good. Again, I knew the Heisman pose. I did not know he won that year. I just assumed he got beat out.
No, it's pretty cool he did. This next guy, not really much of an athlete. White Plains, New York, 38 years old. A programmer and businessman.
How old?
38.
Marcus Zuckerberg?
It's Zuckerberg, yeah. Marcus Zuckerberg. Yeah, that's him. The college dropout loser alien man.
Yeah.
Lizard boy.
Makes us look smart.
Makes us look genius. 33 years old, Amherst, New York, a superstar NFL football player known as his nickname.
Ocho Cinco?
No, his family went through like 9 gallons of milk when he was growing up because he had a bunch of brothers that were huge.
Oh, Gronk.
It's Gronk. Happy birthday to Gronk.
Which one is it?
Rob.
Oh, okay, cool.
The one. But I just thought, you know, I just kept, like, this whole thing has just been, this guy was really good at football, and you're like, this one, and I'm like, yeah. This next guy, really good at football. I'm starting to realize I should have been held back in school, because all these guys were probably held back in school. I about showed you who it was. 36, Los Angeles, California, a Pro Bowl linebacker who was named the NFC Defensive Player of the Year in 2010 and helped the Packers win a Super Bowl.
Linebacker?
Yeah.
Julius Peppers?
No. The other.
Clay Matthews.
It is Clay Matthews' birthday. Happy birthday to Clay Matthews. Just a couple more. 39 years old, Miami, Florida. A 5-time Pro Bowl running back and 2006 NFC rushing champion who helped lead his team to a Super Bowl appearance in 2013.
It's Frank Gore.
That's Frank Gore. One of the GOATs. And then lastly.
Big old balls on Frank Gore.
We're finally getting off the athlete train to just, Modesto, California, 78. A director and producer who's probably one of the greatest directors of all time. Groundbreaking science fiction creator.
How old?
78.
Still alive?
I believe so, yeah. Came out with some movies in the 70s that were really big.
Kubrick's not still alive, is he?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Star Wars.
I don't know.
American Graffiti.
I don't know who directed
Indiana Jones.
Wars. George Lucas.
It is George Lucas.
Oh, I didn't know he directed them. I knew he wrote them.
He did them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay, yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, George Lucas just made them.
I didn't know that.
Shout out George Lucas.
It's pretty cool.
Great filmmaker.
Good idea, man.
Solid. Yeah, it worked. It worked out, brother.
I like the premise. Work on the whole brother-sister kissing thing.
That's a little weird. Maybe you fix that. I don't know.
See you guys tomorrow.
We love you guys.